Welcome to the Rent to Rent Success Podcast, the only podcast entirely dedicated to helping you achieve rent to rent success. We talk about the ethical way to get you started in property without buying it. This is our place to inspire each other to believe bigger, to be bolder, and to be game changers for good. Property investors and sisters Stephanie and Nikki Taylor are your guides on this exciting ride. Let's start up the engines and get ready to fly. Hello, hello, hello. It's Stephanie here. Welcome to the Rent to Rent Success Podcast. I'm so excited this week because I have with me Jamie Marley. We have the most amazing people who do our Kickstarter mentorship, and Jamie is one of them, and he's been having great success with taking a slightly different approach. So Jamie said he's been evicted 3 times from different properties. He's had big mental health challenges. He wants to be financially free by the time he's 50, and he's got a great plan to get there. And so I'm really excited to have Jamie here to share his story. Hi, Jamie. How are you doing?
Well, thank you. And you?
Yeah, really good. So as I mentioned, Jamie, sometimes your voice is cutting in and out, but hopefully it will tide us through. This episode is so worth persisting with, and I definitely want to share your story. So let's start off at the beginning, Jamie. Tell us a bit about you, and then we can move into how you got started in property.
Oh, so I'm 44 nearly. I'm based down. I've predominantly been targeting Kent and Brighton for properties, and I'm married, and we are on a different kind of property journey to a lot of other people, which I'm sure we get into in a moment. That's probably about it.
Yeah, well, tell us about that, because I was intrigued to hear about that.
So we're going right back here. So we've been in property about 4 years now, but we've been active in property the last couple of years, like really active. And I would say around 3 years ago, I worked a seriously stressful corporate job, and I've been doing it for nearly 20 years, and I was a director of a corporate company, and the issues came that it was 7 days a week working, 24/7. No, the buck stopped with me. So I think eventually, I never, ever, ever got a rest. It was 7 days a week. My phone would be going off at 2, 3, 4 in the morning. Weekends, it would be the same. Christmas Day, the amount of memories I've got of me sat on the stairs on Christmas Day with a laptop on my lap and the family at the dinner table eating the Christmas dinner. And I'll be sat there for 2 or 3 hours. Now, and this holidays, I felt from holidays with my son saying, daddy, come in the pool, and it's in a minute, because I'm on my phone doing emails, and I was never able to shut off. And one day, Stephanie, about 3 years ago, it just got, I can't answer why. I think it's been a culmination of things in my life just building up, my job just building up, and one day I couldn't get out of bed. Like, I physically could not get out of bed. And I just laid under the duvet and I cried my eyes out for a couple of hours, and I just got up. And then this went on for about a few weeks. I was obviously getting up throughout the day, but every single morning I could just feel myself deeper and deeper into this depression that I just can't explain. And I know I said, like, I was getting up in the day, but it was affecting my work. I was lying to work. I was telling them I was out on site or at client meetings, and I wasn't. I was just in bed. crying under my duvet. And I've always been a story because I just think if I can help someone just by sharing, you know. And so I did. I went and spoke to somebody, went and spoke to the doctor. I mean, what first pushed me to go speak to the doctor is, you know, about 3 or 4 weeks in, I was, when I would go, I would let my wife first because I had such dread thinking about the next day, the next morning, work day. And my wife would go to bed. I would follow up around 8:30 and I can always remember, you know, when you sob like a baby, I mean, you sob like a baby. I was doing that every single night. And I always remember I was getting into bed every night and I was having my hand over my mouth because I was crying uncontrollably. And I didn't want to wake my wife up. And I still hadn't really told her. And, you know, it was only a few weeks ago that I found that she knew then going approach. And I overheard her speak to her friend saying that she knew I was like that every morning. Then every morning when she was getting for work, she was in the shower crying her eyes out because she knew what I was like laying in bed, duvet, crying myself. And then it was at that point, I thought, I need to go and see help. I can't keep doing this every night. So I went to the doctors. They put me on antidepressants and they literally let me out within a couple of weeks. Kind of brought me down. And then we had a chat where we was already in our dream house, Stephanie. We'd already achieved a lot of things. And we had wealth. I mean, I'd done amazingly well in my corporate job. I mean, amazingly well. And we decided to sell our dream home because I didn't want to be tied to that property because of my job. And we could only stay in that property if I stayed in my job. So we made the massive decision to sell our dream home. And I mean, it was beautiful. I mean, out in the countryside, we had an outdoor pool. You know, we had a couple of acres. I mean, it was paradise. So, and we had worked so hard to get to that home in the first place. So we put it up for sale and I say unfortunate. We got above the asking price because people started trying to outbid each other, but had another negative effect on us because the property sold within 4 days of it going on the market. Wow. And give us enough time mentally to prepare that we're now selling our home and we're moving out. And I always remember walking over to her and she was fully up to speed with the process and the bidding going on. And I've just said to her, I've accepted an offer. You know, the agent might take this. Now, and I've said to people that I think 99% of people associate selling your home with being exciting and being part of the next chapter in your life. And it wasn't. It was, even though we knew it was a massive negative, and we both stood in the middle of the garden and we just burst into tears, a pair of us, and we just held each other and we were literally sobbing because we just sold our home. And the main purpose of this was to release the equity because we had a lot of equity trapped in our home, so we could really, really push on with property then. And that's what we ultimately done. We sold our home. We changed our whole lifestyle. I mean, even last year, I stopped drinking last year. I haven't had a sip of alcohol since last year. I know you love a wine. And we is, I mean, even that has changed my health and my mindset. I've never, ever been so focused in my life. I'm that dreaded hangover for days after, that depression for days after. And I knew that I just had to make big changes in my life so we could change our whole life together. And then, so all we're doing now is we have been purchasing properties. We've been turning them into SAs. I joined a fantastic rent-to-rent mastermind because, for me, our journey now is not creating wealth. It has been about putting the wealth we have got to work, because 44 and 150, done. I'm out of the game. We're stopping. We're jumping on our sailboat that we've got, and we are going to go and sail around the world and explore for 2, 3, 4, 5 years. We haven't decided yet. That's the plan. And we want to go and experience things we haven't done. You know, I don't want to work well into my 50s or well into my 60s like a lot of people. I want to enjoy life. You know, this, you know, the average UK life expectancy of a man is 78. And I just think, I don't want to work till I'm 65, you know, and then enjoy 13 years of my life. You know, what sort of crappy deal is that? So I've decided to put what we've got to work, create enough passive income as we can, so we can go off and activate that. And I mean, and we are going to do it. I mean, the wheels have been in motion for a long time now, and it's all about creating that passive income for me. And, you know, when we was going down the buy-to-let route, and I quickly found that it was boring. You know, I didn't like it because, and again, I think because of my mental health, that I think my mind needs to be stimulated, Stephanie. I found it boring. A bit of boring, you know. But I love
your story, and honestly, you've covered so much. But I think we can all relate. When you said, "I don't know why I was depressed," I thought, "Well, having that job for all of those years, being constantly on call, Christmas Day, weekends, holidays, obviously, that's going to drive anybody over the edge." So I'm so pleased for you that you were able to make some strategic decisions with your life. One of the things that I often say on this podcast is being intentional with where you want to go. So you had been intentional. You'd created your dream home. You were living there, but you decided you wanted a different kind of freedom after that. And you sold that home. And now you've got your 6-year plan to go to become financially free before your before you retire, i.e. to invest the money that you have to be working hard for you. And one of the ways you're doing that is to do rent-to-rent.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that we're financially free. But it is more so that...
the passive income.
Yeah, the passive income. And yeah, we need to wait for our son to be old enough that... No, we can't just go now at the end of the day. We're waiting for evolve. And like I said, yeah, we're creating that passive income now, putting the money to work.
Yeah. And it's so doable, because although rent-to-rent itself isn't a passive strategy, if you do it yourself, you can outsource the work and still be making money from other people's properties. Or you can do a combination of that and what we did and what you're doing as well, is you're managing other people's properties, but you're also, or you will be, and you're also buying properties and having them managed. So great strategy. But what I'd love to talk about today is some of the things that you've been doing in terms of your rent-to-rent business that have been getting a great feedback from people.
So we, I mean, you had the lovely Fabienne Miller on and I listened to that podcast, and I've always been keen on, interior design. I've always liked quirkiness, and I've always liked something that looks a bit different, because I've always loved marketing as well. And I think you need to stand out from the crowd. If you want your business, you need to create a product that stands out from everybody else's product. You know, and that is what we've done with one of our rent to SAs. You know, we picked the keys up this week, Monday of this week, and I know for a fact there are three other identical apartments in the block. They're all white, boring, you know. So we've gone in, we've implemented technique that I learned from Fabienne. I went on her mastermind in the end after watching her on it, and it was a game changer. You know, and colour does attract guests, and it does make your property stand out. You know, when people are looking somewhere, they're going to go for the most colourful one, the quirky one, the one that's standing out. And, you know, that is what we've found. And we have been getting huge compliments on the way our properties look. We are outperforming. There were 400 and something active Airbnbs in the Medway area where our luxury bungalow is. We're third already on the list of how they're performing in the current market. And I spoke to you before about marketing as well. So for the rent-to-rent side, the apartment we've picked this week, we designed a sales brochure. And again, I want to think outside the box, think of something different, something everybody else is doing, because a lot of people are putting out flyers, guaranteed rent, guaranteed this, give me a call, and it's the same stuff. So you've got to be a bit creative. So we had a 10-page sales brochure designed, and it did cost a bit more, but the feedback we've got and the amount of I've had already just from the first 100-odd brochures we've posted out. I've had a landlord call me yesterday morning. He said, I don't normally call people when I get these leads through my door. He said, but your sales brochure has stood out amongst everything else I've had. So can we have a chat? He's got four HMOs, so I'm going to meet him next week. I don't know if they stack up yet, but I want to get in front of the guy first, have a chat with him. So we're going to get coffee.
Great. That's really some amazing insights there. What I love, well, first of all, let's just point out, I do hope if you're watching and listening, you can hear Jamie well. But Fabienne Miller, you're saying about Fabienne Miller was on episode, I looked this up earlier, 154 of the podcast. So renttorentsuccess.com/154 if you want to listen to that episode where she talks about some of the biggest mistakes you're probably making in your HMO interiors and maybe your home interiors as well, in my case. And you went on Fabienne's mastermind and you absolutely loved it and implemented it in your service apartment to really stand out. So that was the first thing that you were just talking about there, Jamie. And the other thing you were talking about is marketing. And in Rent to HMO, you were telling me we really advocate doing a brochure, although maybe not a 10-page, although that's really worked for you. But one of the things we do really advocate and talk about in the Kickstarter mentorship is being personal and having your personal story, your personal transformations. And you took a transformation that you've done for your own property and put that in your brochure just to show people what you're able to do, which I think is phenomenal. And you're seeing four HMOs next week, so that's really been a massive win for you.
I think if people need to get to know you rather than just getting a leaflet through the door. And I think, you know, people buy into people more than they buy into a piece of paper that's coming through their door. And I think that if you look credible and you can show people that you're doing it and you're creating a good product, then why would they not want you to create a good product for them, you know, and add value to their property as well?
So, Jamie, you already had, you know, you had that all that experience from corporates, and you're also, you know, you're good at marketing. So what made you join the Kickstarter mentorship in the first place? Because you also know quite a bit about property.
It was you, Stephanie, to be fair. It was, you was very, very active on my Instagram feeds and my Facebook feeds. And it was a strategy I didn't fully understand. I knew about it, but I think for anything in property or anything in general, that you need to get education on something. You can't just go out and do something, because, you know, mistakes are far more costly than the cost of the course. You know, and it is so important. And for me, I liked the breakdown of the structure, yeah, how to structure your business, where to start, the all the kind of bonus parts you get as well. So your contracts, your checklists, and it's something that I needed. And you know, I think anyone's going to need that information, because you can't just go into a rent-to-rent deal blind, because you are 100% heading for disaster.
Yeah, I totally agree. And the other thing is, I find with a lot of people I speak to on the telephone, they're already confident people, they're already talented people, they understand, oftentimes they have challenging professional roles, and they understand the principles of rent-to-rent. But going in and speaking to someone is still a different level. And that's when having that structure, having that, you know, knowing what to say, knowing how to put yourself across, knowing what they're looking for, really just gives you that X factor of confidence to be able to put things into action, even though you may already understand the concepts.
I think that... I'm fortunate that I've done sales for years, so I wasn't overawed by going in and speaking to a lettings agent. I mean, I would quite comfortably stand on a stage and speak to a few hundred people. I mean, I don't care. And I think that I'm quite active on social media, and I would genuinely say that being on, you know, and if anyone wants a little tip, is start getting in front of the camera on social media, because it will make you a more confident person with speaking to people, you know, and it will 100%, it will help you speak to agents as well, because you will find that if not all, but a percentage of that fear factor just goes, and it does, it opens your mind, you know. And I love speaking to people. You can probably guess, but I love speaking to people.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And even things, it's those intangible things like I learned years ago, which we do teach in the course, and things like, for most people do feel really nervous in that situation, even though they might be used to speaking on stage, they might be used to speaking to people professionally, they might be used to speaking to groups. But when it comes to that, going into the letting agent or going into the landlord, for whatever reason, they feel nervous. And so some of the teachings that we do is just to be, A, know the help you can give. So we go into that. We know the value that you have. And two, and this one's just a little shift, is become curious about them and their problems. Become curious about them and their issues, what are they looking for in terms of this specific property or in general. And when you become curious about somebody, it's really hard to focus on yourself at the same time. So it's hard to feel nervous and, am I saying the right things? You're more focusing on them, which enables you to be much more fluent. And what I love is when I, on the group calls, people saying, oh, I went in and seen this agent, or I've been speaking to landlords and the conversation was much better than I thought, and stuff like that. So it's...
I think what... If people want to copy, then I'm happy. But I mean, if this helps anybody who is nervous about speaking to agents, so what I've done with the sales brochure is so instead of using a flyer to say, you know, we guarantee you rent or blah blah blah, I broke down the steps of the process in the sales brochure. So I go into the pain points for estate agents and how we solve that problem underneath. I've got two sales brochures. I've got one for landlords and one for agents. And, you know, in the agent one, it is the pain points of being a letting agent, i.e. Section 21, the tenant ban. You know, and I've said, you can charge us fees because we're not a tenant. Yeah, so you can still charge us fees as we're a limited company. And it's all about showing the positives of why they should use you, yeah, and use this kind of strategy as well, because it is a win-win for everybody at the end of the day. The landlord's going to get guaranteed rent for three, four, 5 years, and the agent are going to get their monthly fees as well for the next 3, 4, 5, 10 years.
Yeah, no, it's fabulous. And what I would love to see is I'd love you to come back on the podcast. You've got your 4 HMOs viewings next week and talk about it. I get so excited because Nikki hosts a call on a Tuesday night. I host a call on a Thursday night with all our Kickstarters, and it's just such a great energy and a great vibe. And we've got people like you, Jamie, ambitious, who want to commit to changing their life within a short period of time, because there's so much you can do in 6 years. Listen,
Stephanie, I know I'm interrupting you quick, but this is one thing I say to people. Yeah, you've got to be a doer. Don't be a thinker, because you will become stagnant, yeah? And I have said to people, I've spoken to people who want to get into property, want to get into rent to rent, and in 3 years' time, they're still thinking about it. You know, you've got to be a doer and you've got to go and take action.
Yeah, and the risks are so low. People don't do it because of the risk, but the risks are so small for us, because there's so many ways, and that's a great way as well if you're part of a mentorship, of being able to give a property back. People worry they won't be able to tenant or they'll have a property. Honestly, that's such an unusual worry now, because tenant demand is so high, rents are so high. If you've got a property, you're going to be swamped with people wanting to rent it. You're going to be able to pick and choose. But Jamie, now people can go and look at your Instagram, can't they, and see pictures of this service accommodation that you have. Is that right,
yeah,
Jamie?
Yeah, I mean, I will be posting the finished pictures this week, but we've got the bungalow on there, which is used as a luxury service accommodation. People can go and have a look at that. They can see the interior. They can have a look at all of the photos, because we took it back to brick. I mean, it was empty for 4 years, and people can go and have a look at the transformation and look at what can be achieved.
Well, that's at Jamie's Instagram, which is _JamieMarley_, and I'll put the links in the show notes, and they'll be at renttorentsuccess.com/168 for episode 168. Jamie, you are such an inspiration to me. I love your energy. I love your honesty. I love your rawness. And when I speak to you, I just know that whatever you say, you're going to create, because you're definitely all in. Uh-huh. And is there anything, as we are closing off, that you want to leave people with to inspire them?
Yeah. And it is a mental health thing. So I think, you know, and I've said this to people all the time, is because people didn't know how I was feeling. So if I can finish by saying, you know, going, if you're at work or you've got your friend, just ask them if they're okay, and not just if they're okay. That's it.
Oh, that's lovely. And I think it's really caring for each other, and also caring for ourselves, because we might not always know, if somebody doesn't let us in, what's going on in somebody else's head, but we can do ourselves, give ourselves the grace of listening into what's going on in our own head, and giving ourselves rest, as well as work hard, but also rest as well.
Yeah.
Or work smart, I suppose.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, well, this was episode one, Jamie, and I know your sound wasn't perfect, but I really hope that you watching and listening were able to hear Jamie well, and we will have him back on, and hopefully his sound will be better. He's actually, I thought he was in some sort of event space, but he's actually, if you go to the video that's on renttorentsuccess.com/168, he's actually in his own home. He's got a massive conservatory on it. So if this isn't the dream home, I don't know, but this conservatory is massive. It looks like a warehouse, but it's that size, I mean. So, Jamie, you're back. You just dropped off.
Yeah. Well, you kicked me out.
No, I didn't kick you out. So, well, thank you so much for coming on, Jamie, and thank you for watching and for listening. Do check out Jamie Marley's Instagram. He is one to watch, _JamieMarley_ on Instagram. And we will have those links in the show notes as well. And until next week, believe bigger, be bolder, be a game changer. See you soon, guys. Thanks, Jamie. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you so much for being with me here today. If you would like more, we've written the #1 best-selling book on Rent to Rent. You can find it at renttorentsuccess.com/book. Reviewers on Amazon have described it as the best Rent to Rent HMO book, and also as a definitive reference guide and inspirational. Take your next step today and buy the book. You can find it at renttorentsuccess.com/book. And I'll see you again next time. Until then, remember, believe bigger, be bolder, be a game changer.